In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
White capital letters on a black screen, Law and Order UK. The Shard looms above the lights of Tower Bridge and central London.
Right, Astra, jump to red light at the corner of West Street. Pulling over now.
A police SUV, blue lights flashing, draws up behind the silver Astra as it stops. A young cop gets out.
Sir, turn your engine off and step out of the car, please.
Let's go.
The cop leaps back into the passenger seat.
Tommy, call for backup.
Romeo 4-5 in pursuit.
The blonde female cop driving blows her cheeks out as she races after the Astra down narrow streets.
Jesus.
Right, down another one way. Christopher Street, over. Cattle, spin out.
I've got it, Tom.
The squad car swings around bends after the Astra. The Astra speeds towards the junction.
Right, stay on it.
Yeah, I've got it.
A truck hits the Astra side on. The squad car stops at the T-junction. Tom rushes to the Astra, then to the stunned truck driver.
You okay, sir?
Oh, no.
Stay inside your vehicle, please.
The cops pull on gloves and open the Astra passenger door. The young driver lies slumped, bloodied.
Tom.
Tom feels for the driver's pulse, then joins his colleague who opens the boot to find another body. Socko Pete with Ronnie.
So, two fatalities, a driver male 20s, and in his boot, male 60s. From the amount of blood, I'd say already dead when he was put there.
Right. Ooh.
Ronnie peers into the Astra.
Oh, some shunt this, Pete.
New Sam? Just started, has he?
Hey? Yeah, joined us today from Child Protection. Joe.
Okay, thanks.
Pete. Joe, Pete.
D.S. Hawkins.
Pete's hands are gloved.
Right. So Astra showed up on VODs. It was nicked this afternoon, Kentish Town.
Good.
Anything on him?
Oh, well, no. No wallets, pockets are empty, no phones, also, no tea, and no hands.
Joe winces at the mutilated corpse from the boot. He crouches as Pete lifts the stumps.
Poor son. So no dental records?
No fingerprints. That's easy one to start you off with.
They stand over the corpse of the mutilated middle-aged man. Law, Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks, Ben Bailey-Smith as athletic DS Joe Hawkins, Patterson Joseph as ruggedly handsome DI Wes Layton. The police officers and lawyers stroll through the halls of court together. Order, Dominic Rowan as clean-cut SCP Jake Thorne, Georgia Taylor as short, attractive CP Kate Barker, and Peter Davison as grey-haired Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Floor. Ronnie with Layton.
There's nothing from missing persons matching the bloke in the boot, although forensics did find traces of blood and oil on the driver's shoes.
A lock-up, maybe, or a garage.
Could be. Also, partial footprint in the passenger world. Same blood, same oil, different shoes.
So he had a friend?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Well, Anne said he was a demon yesterday with the health and the safety stuff. The rest I'm not too sure, don't
I? Oh, well, lucky he's got you to show him the ropes and all.
I don't have time to show people ropes.
Your job. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Good. Actually, got a match on the driver's dabs. Goes by the name of Billy Knowles. Shed load of previous.
I know Billy Knowles. Hired muscle.
KAs?
Well, we'll get onto it, Wes.
Already done. There you go. Known associates, Billy Knowles.
Yeah. I think he'll show you a thing or two, Ron. Cheers.
Automotive Tech Institute, Paddington. Ronnie and Joe with a mechanic.
Chris Ackroyd. This is DS Brooks. I'm decent. DS Joe Hawkins.
Yeah?
You don't sound too sure.
Do you know Billy Knowles?
A bit.
Well, a lot, I'd say. Didn't you do some thieving together, nicking cars? Then you graduated to ABH, wasn't it, Chris? That's going up in the world.
Oh, that's my old life, yeah. Billy, the feds, all that. I choose not to go that way no more.
But didn't you and Billy get charged with assault 5 months ago?
Yeah, charges were dropped. It's a case of mistaken identity.
Is that right?
See, I've learnt my lesson. I study. I'm smart. I'm gonna break out, be success, just like you. Pillar of the community. It was easy for you, though, wasn't it, D.S. Hawkins? A bit higher up the pigmentocracy, you know. Shadism has its benefits, you know what I mean?
Chris, where were you last night?
I was studying.
When did you last see Billy Knowles?
Can't remember. You have to ask him.
Yeah, well, we can't. He's dead.
Afro-Caribbean Chris broods. Ronnie on the street with mixed-race Joe.
Shadism?
Basically, the closer to white you are, the better. That's the theory.
Oh, really?
It's right up there with evolution and relativity.
Brooks?
Ronnie and Joe with Oswald in forensics.
Blunt force trauma to the back of the head. Single blow. Judging from the mess they made of his jaw, I'd say they used the same thing to knock the teeth out.
And the hands?
Hacksaw, probably. Both done post-mortem. No finesse.
So whoever did it wasn't really interested in torture, just anonymity, yeah?
And they did a pretty good job, right?
Not that good. A radiocephalic fistula.
Right, so he's on dialysis.
Oh, in case you were wondering, there are 27 dialysis centres in Greater London. And a radiocephalic fistula is a surgical procedure.
27 centres?
How many of them perform surgery?
See, we'll make a detective of him yet.
Home of Harry Bernstein.
He was meant to dialyse at the hospital last night. That's where I thought he was.
Mrs. Bernstein, do you know why anyone would want to hurt your husband?
No, Harry didn't have any enemies.
When did you last see him?
Oh, I need to ring the synagogue, the burial Tahara. I need to speak to the rabbi.
Mrs. Bernstein, when did you last see your husband?
Yesterday. As always, he went to work. He works in Hatton Garden in Diamonds.
Did he have any problems, mention anything, trouble of any kind?
He never talked about work. Leave it at the front door, he says. Talk to David. If anyone will know, he'll know.
David?
His partner, David Winkleman. Harry took him on as an apprentice, taught him everything. Harry trusted him. Like a son.
Bernstein and Winkleman Jewellery Store, Hatton Garden. Ronnie and Joe with a tall, suave jeweller in his 30s.
Yeah, I sent everyone home. They're all too upset.
That's a lot of noughts. Business good, is it?
Yeah, business is good. We stopped cutting and polishing rough diamonds a few years ago. Indians do it cheaper.
You ever get anyone approaching you? Stolen goods, that sort of thing?
No. Harry stayed away from all of that. He taught me early on, don't look at the rocks. He said, look at the face.
Well, we did pretty much the same thing.
When was the last time you saw Harry?
Last night, around 7. He was on his way to meet someone.
Who?
He didn't say, but that time of night, you would have met him at Frank's Noshery.
A craggy-faced man leads Ronnie and Joe through a bistro.
Table in the corner. The one Harry always has when he wants to talk business. Nice and private.
And who was he meeting?
Mickey Belcher. Bum. I tell you this, things were getting pretty heated.
So they were out?
3 times I went to take their dessert order. And Harry wasn't interested. Whatever Mickey was selling, Harry wasn't buying.
It was a disagreement.
What kind of disagreement?
I had a business proposition I was willing to put his way. Harry wasn't interested. It happened.
And that's it?
That's it. We kissed and made up. Then we left.
Together?
Harry had to go home by tube. We said goodbye in the street. It's been too long, yada, yada. We must do it again soon. Like you do.
Had you known Harry Bernstein long?
We were at De Beers together, in the sorting room. Harry had the best eyes in the business. He could spot a mackerel at 50 feet.
A mackerel?
A flaw. Nothing got past Harry Bernstein. Nothing.
Mickey eyes Ronnie and Joe, with Kayla at HQ.
Oh, hey, Ron, look at this.
Camera from Frank's Notary. That's Harry and Belka leaving.
That's just like Belka said, though, yeah?
Yeah, but he also said they kissed and made up.
Yeah, one sec, sorry. Hello, Brooks's phone. Just hold. Yeah.
And look, they definitely didn't go their separate ways.
Sorry, go ahead. That is great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Joe, get your coat. We found Harry Bernstein's teeth.
Top of a multi-story car park.
Tell you what, though, that is a bit of a shock.
What's that?
Well, your kids drop their sweets under the cars. Mum goes down to pick them up, comes back up with a couple of molars and an incisor. They're lovely.
Well, that's one way to learn about tooth decay.
Top. Hello, Joy.
Hi, Ronnie. Right, we had tyre marks matching the Astra and CCTV shows it driving in at 9:47.
Right. So, they park up, take Harry out of the car.
Bun deal.
Yeah. So, anything else, Joy?
Usual. Fag ends, sweet wrappers, used condom.
Filthy haystack, no needle.
Yeah.
All right, here comes the Astra.
Yeah. But that's no good, you can't tell who's inside. Fast forward it on for me, please. See if it's any better when they come out.
CCTV.
Yeah.
No.
Great. All right, well, we'll check some of the cameras on the street, maybe we'll get lucky.
Hang on, well, just go back for me, please. Back, back. Bit further. There.
A hooded figure running.
It's like a few minutes after the Astra leaves.
And what is he getting rid of?
Ronnie follows Joe through the car park.
Yeah, well, don't just go open it. You don't know what's in it.
So I got it.
Joe pulls on rubber gloves and picks up a rucksack.
What's in there?
Spray paint. They eye graffiti.
He comes back down and sees what?
Something that makes him run like hell.
Yeah, all right. Well, why don't we ask around? Because someone somewhere will know who Iris is.
Home of Danny Taylor, Wapping.
Well, he's supposed to be at school, but he hasn't come out of his room all day. Tried everything, shouting, bribing, you name it, nothing.
Was he out last night?
Why? Has he been spraying walls again? Danny!
The slim blonde woman leads Ronnie and Joe into a bedroom decorated with skate posters.
Hello, Danny. Mind if we have a little chat?
A fresh-faced boy lies staring on his bed.
We know that you were there, Danny. We've asked around. We know that you are Iris.
Ronnie and Joe sit facing the fresh-faced boy and his mother in the stark evidence room. Joe leans forward towards the gaunt lad.
We're not interested in graffiti. Danny, we just wanna know what you saw. And we know you're scared as well. I mean, you saw something horrible last night.
Anything you can tell us, Danny? Anything you overheard, a name? Seriously, any little thing that can help us. It's there, Wes, I know it. We just push it a little bit harder.
No. He's completely traumatised.
He's our only lead.
Well, maybe he is too scared to talk.
It's not like he knows and he isn't saying. It's a blank. And he saw a man murdered and have his hands cut off. I've seen this, especially with kids. They bury the memory deep, right? And if we try and push too hard...
Well, I'm not going to do that, though, am I?
Look, he's not talking. Right? At least not yet. And until he does, until he's ready, we're wasting our time.
Okay, start again. Back to square one, fellas.
Look at the evidence from the scene again, will you? And Mickey Belka, I mean, he's lied to us once, so see what you can dig up.
What are you going to do?
I'm giving evidence. And I just want to run through it first.
Oh, the Horgan case?
Yeah.
You do that every time?
Well, this one's special. Look, let me introduce you to a couple of people. This is Jacob Thorne and Kate Barker from the CPS. This is D.S. Hawkins.
Joe.
Hey.
Yeah. First day. Yeah, pretty much.
Ronnie threw you in at the deep end.
Just trying to keep my head above water, you know? Anyway, better crack on. Don't want to drown.
Kate eyes Joe as he goes.
Ready?
Yeah. Dale Horgan and Jackson Baylor were involved in a turf war.
Concerning the sale of drugs?
Yes, Horgan thought that Baylor was trying to muscle in on his territory.
Sorry, conjecture. You have no idea what Horgan thought.
What did you find when you arrived at Baylor's flat?
Well, on entering the flat, we found Baylor's body in the hallway, been shot in the stomach, point blank.
Was his the only body that you found?
No, we then went into the lounge and found the body of Serena Baylor.
And who was she?
Baylor's 8-year-old daughter. It was his turn to have her that weekend. She was... still clutching the toy tigger.
Irrelevant.
Do you really have to do that?
Look, do you want to trip up now or wait until we get into court?
Had Serena Bailey been shot too?
Yes. She left a trail of blood from the hallway.
So she didn't die at once?
No. She had enough time to drag herself back into the lounge where she bled out.
Slides of the crime scene are projected onto Ronnie.
Alone, frightened, she must have been terrified.
No, 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 Ron, you can't say that. It's too emotional.
Too real is what it is, Kate. Dale Horgan, I mean, he shot the kid, and he's probably stood there and watched her die.
You can't let your feelings get in the way.
She was 8. What's she going to do? Set Tigger onto him?
Look, I do know how hard you've worked to get Horgan here, Ronnie. Watching those previous 2 trials collapse like that.
It's the same for us, Ronnie. We want Horgan as much as you do.
But when you get into court, if you let emotion get in the way...
Joe comes in.
Ron, I found something.
Mickey Belka has 4, right? Him and his mate handling stolen goods, selling moody perfume from a stall, that kind of thing.
Right? Yeah, but that's a long way from lopping off hands, though, Joe.
Yeah, well, his mate left town, right, while Belka stayed on, moved up to fencing stolen jewellery.
All right. Does his mate have a name?
Harry Bernstein.
Hmm.
Yes, I knew Harry from before, so what? It's hardly a crime.
No, but melting down stolen gold and silver is. Fencing stolen diamonds is.
It's the past. Another country.
Ronnie and Joe face Mickey in the evidence room.
We know that...
Ronnie looks round at Joe as Joe lays a hand on Ronnie's arm. Mickey broods introspectively.
I had a chance to make some real money. Fence some stones, but I needed Harry's help. His reputation, his contacts.
What was the row about?
Harry said he didn't do stuff like that. I respected his decision.
What about the bloke you were fencing for?
Did they have a go at convincing him to?
You think I told him I couldn't get Harry? They just dumped me. We have a saying in the garden, Moselle Brocco, my word is my bond. My word counts for shit. I needed Harry. Why would I hurt him? You want to know who hurt Harry Bernstein? You try David Bloody Winkleman.
And why would we do that?
You start with the fact he was stooping Harry's missus. And then you take it from there.
Joe, that thing you did when I went to speak to Belka, I leant forward and you grabbed my arm.
Yeah, yeah, we learned that working with kids, right? You don't fill the silence, you let them fill it.
Right, that's interesting. Don't do it again.
Home of Harry Bernstein, Harry's blonde, middle-aged wife.
We'd stop noticing each other. He'd go to work, he'd come home, he'd go to sleep. I was invisible. I just needed someone to remind me that I was still... How childish is that?
And then there was David Winkleman.
He thought there was more to it than there was. Said we could make a life together. As if that's what I was looking for when... All I actually wanted...
Was to be wanted.
It's not something I'm proud of. Harry should be buried by now. But they won't release him. He just lies there. In that fridge.
Did your husband find out about David?
Are you sure about that?
Trust me. If Harry knew, he wouldn't have kept it to himself.
Mickey Belka knew. Why not Harry?
Well, could spot a mackerel at 50 feet.
An interview.
The company's house is full of fascinating things, Mr. Winkleman. For instance, did you know that Harry Bernstein started up a new company only last month with himself as sole owner?
Yeah, it turns out a lot of your clients have taken their business to Harry's new company.
Mm. I mean, he couldn't get rid of you, what with you being a partner of the existing business, so he started a new one and bypassed you.
That's ridiculous. He was trying to ruin you. You betrayed him. This was his revenge.
My client has said all he's going to say. He came in voluntarily.
So, one of your clients probably told you where they were going. Is that how you found out?
No.
Either arrest him, or this meeting is over.
You're in love with his wife. He was going to destroy you.
So, you had to stop him.
Leighton steps in through the door.
Ron.
Ronnie takes off his glasses and follows Leighton into the hall.
Yes, Gov?
You're going to have to let him go.
Well, no, we've still got a couple of hours.
Winkleman didn't kill Bernstein.
No, Wes, look, he had opportunity. He had most...
She came in about 10 minutes ago. She asked for you by name.
Ronnie follows Leighton into his office, where a frumpy middle-aged woman rises.
T.S. Brooks, this is Rebecca Waldman.
Oh, hello there. Can I help you?
I'm on the jury in the Horgan trial.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, my dear. We can't speak. It got out that you came to the station.
We're way past that now. I'm Harry Bernstein's sister. This was left at my house.
A cardboard box on Leighton's desk contains two severed hands with not guilty scrawled on the lid.
You shared custody of your daughter with Jackson Baylor.
After the divorce, he had her one weekend a month. I shouldn't have done it. I should have just...
On the day in question, what did you see when you dropped her off?
They were arguing.
Jackson Baylor and Dale Horgan?
Yes.
Did you hear what was said?
Horgan had his face right up against Jack's. He whispered something. Whatever it was, it must have scared him.
Conjecture, m'lady. The witness has no idea what was said.
Just confine yourself to what you saw and heard.
Mid-20s Miranda Jones is on the stand.
What happened then?
Horgan got into his car.
And then what?
He looked at Jack. And when...
Horgan smirks as Miranda aims two fingers like a gun.
I shouldn't have left her there. I knew what he was like. But I still left her there. My baby girl.
Thank you. Nothing further.
The witness is excused.
It was just a gesture. Eleanor Richmond will say it doesn't prove a thing.
It showed intent.
It showed Horgan had seen some many bad movies.
The jury lapped it up. Eleanor can talk about reasonable doubt all she likes. It won't get her anywhere.
Ronnie meets Jake and Kate on the steps with Sharp.
Horgan nubbled the jury.
The juror's brother was murdered 3 days ago. They sent her his hands as a keepsake.
The jury will have to be discharged.
Which means we'll have to start all over again.
No, I don't think so.
She could have tainted the whole jury.
Well, not necessarily. We know when the juror was approached. She swore she spoke to no one.
And you believe her?
She's terrified. It took her 3 days to tell the police.
What if you're wrong? What if Horgan got to more than one of them?
Well, it's not like nipping down the shop. Something like that takes organisation.
Horgan's got the clout.
Horgan's a big fish in a rank pond. He's not Al Capone.
So you just get this one juror discharged.
And then carry on. 11 jurors.
Still enough for a majority. Could work.
Jake follows Sharp into his office.
None of this is our fault. The first time, Horgan had a suspected heart attack that lasted precisely as long as it took for the trial to collapse. The second, because the paper ran an article about Horgan just when the jury were deliberating, allowing his brief to yell prejudice. Now this. Three trials? Getting Horgan's been a long time coming. I'm nearly there, Henry.
Forensics have confirmed the hands belong to Harry Bernstein. They matched the dabs they found at his gaff.
What about the note?
What?
Written on the lid with a bog-standard marker pen.
Okay. If this is Horgan's work, he was... No, and, look, if it is, and we proceed on that basis, then Horgan arranged this from inside. Let's find out who's been talking to since the trial began.
Crown versus Horgan, Eleanor Richmond.
Discharge all of them, m'lady.
What?
I'm making an application for the entire jury to be discharged.
My lady.
If one juror has been compromised, who's to say the others haven't been?
Are you suggesting that your client has intimidated more than one juror?
Not at all. In the absence of my client being charged with attempting to pervert the course of justice, I must assume the prosecution has no evidence he had anything to do with it.
Well, who else would it be?
There are many people who would benefit from my client being charged with another murder.
He's been framed? Seriously?
Can you prove he hasn't been?
The defense are trying to take advantage of the situation.
I'm merely concerned that the jury shouldn't be compromised.
This way, they get to start over again. A new jury, a new trial. Granting this application will be to reward the tampering in the first place.
Skeleton arguments by this evening. I will hear oral representations tomorrow.
Jake and Kate in Henry Sharp's office.
No jury at all.
If Eleanor Richmond gets her way, we'll be right back where we started.
Plus, I'm not sure some of our witnesses can go through it all again.
Judge only.
Well, there's a precedent, Crown versus Toomey.
Yes, I am aware of that.
The trial continues, we lose nothing.
And you'll argue it on what basis?
Horgan tampered with the last jury. I'm not going to give him a chance to do that again.
And 800 years of constitutional rights go out of the window just like that. Are you okay with this?
That little girl's mom has now given evidence at 3 trials. She blames herself as much as she does Horgan. She's coming apart at the seams, Henry.
She has my sympathy, but it's not an argument.
Look, Horgan tried to abuse the system. He can't very well hide behind it now.
You don't even know if Horgan knew about the tampering, far less that he ordered it.
I don't have to. I just have to show a real and present danger of interference and the likelihood that it will continue.
Sharp eyes Kate, then turns back to Jake.
Trial by jury has been around since the Magna Carta, and you want to go in there tomorrow and tear it up.
Are you telling me not to do it?
I'm telling you that before you start down that road, make damn sure you know where you're going.
Crown versus Horgan. Jake and Richmond in their wigs and gowns with the judge.
If you deny my client a jury, you deny him one of the fundamental principles of the legal system.
And he has enjoyed the benefits of that system not once, but 3 times, my lady. And now this jury is tainted with every expectation that it will be again. The principle is no longer fundamental, it's flawed.
Trial by jury can only work if it remains uncompromised. That is not the case here. Notwithstanding Miss Richmond's comments, the determination of guilt or innocence does not require the presence of a jury alone. Therefore, under Section 44 of the Criminal Justice Act 2003, I will grant the application to discharge the jury altogether.
Then I ask that you disqualify yourself, milady, and that a new judge be appointed.
There's no need for that.
Mr. Thorne has a point. On what grounds?
Your Honour has seen information about my client which would not normally come to the attention of the jury.
I'm sure, my lady, you can make that distinction.
Nonetheless, there's still danger of the perception of bias. Don't you agree?
The judge arches her eyebrows. Joe and Ronnie at HQ.
Okay, list of Horgan's visitors in the last fortnight.
Yeah.
We've got his mum, girlfriend, 4 times. And,
Oh, nice one. There's a surprise.
Mm.
You hauled my arse all the way down here because of a visit.
Been friends with Horgan long?
Well, not friends.
And yet you visited him in prison?
Yeah, it's part of an outreach program. Spiritual guidance.
That assault charge you beat 5 months ago, Chris.
Yeah, where the victim suddenly changed his mind, couldn't ID you.
Yeah, and?
We showed him a photograph of Dale Horgan. He went very quiet, didn't he?
He was terrified.
Mm. You think Dale Horgan had anything to do with his memory failing?
The young mechanic looks away.
Chris? What did you see Horgan about?
I don't remember.
A couple of weeks you don't remember?
Can't have been very interesting.
Oh, you got all the answers, don't you?
Yeah, to your questions I do, yeah.
Chris, you know what I think? I think Dale Horgan told you to study the jury. Pick a weak spot. Push someone. And I reckon you found Rebecca Waldman. And I think you and Billy Knowles killed Harry Bernstein.
Dale Horgan called in his marker. So that's murder. Conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. We're talking a lot of years here, Chris. You hear what I said?
Yeah, and I'm hearing a lot of noise too. Yap, like a terrier.
Oh, what, is it a mongrel? Ask me that again!
Joe.
Joe releases Chris with Ronnie and Leighton.
We've shown Chris Akron's photo to Bernstein's wife, his business partner, the entire population of Hatton Garden, and nothing.
We can link Horgan to Akron. We've got motive, Wes, but we just can't put Akron at the scene, that's all.
Okay, how about that witness, the eyewitness, the boy, Danny? How's his memory?
We spoke to him again this afternoon.
And?
Sharp on the news.
There are precedents. In fact, the Diplock courts in the 70s dispensed with juries. Some major fraud trials happen without juries, and of course, magistrates sit every day without jury.
You make a good case.
You've drawn Mr. Justice Lockwood.
For the Horgan trial.
Lockwood's going to decide.
I'd say Eleanor Richmond is offering up a prayer of thanks right about now.
Life sacrifices are more her thing.
You rolled the dice.
Be careful what you wish for. Is that it?
Well, at least Horgan won't be able to get to any more juries.
Neither will you. No trading on the jury's emotions. No matter how many tears are shed in the witness box or how scary Horgan looks, no tricks, just you and Eleanor in front of someone who understands the law. And remember, it won't be you on there having to explain if you lose.
Jake and Kate pass protesters on their way to court.
Friends of Horgan.
Only if they're armed.
Miranda's on the court steps.
Mr. Thorne. Sorry, Mr. Thorne. I just want to say you don't have to worry. I will answer the questions. I will relive that day over and over. I don't care. I just want to do it. We all want the same thing. I pray, Miss Barker. Every night I pray that the good Lord will help me find it in my heart to forgive, as I was taught. But I just want him to burn.
Kate lays a hand on Miranda's arm. Crown versus Horgan retrial. The court clerk in wig and gown stands.
All rise.
Kate, Jake and Richmond in wigs and gowns stand as jowly Judge Lockwood takes his high seat. Sinewy, tattooed Horgan leers behind glass in the dock.
It has been a rocky path, and it remains a voyage of discovery for us all. I trust we won't let the novelty go to our heads. Now, since I am the only gallery either of you will be playing to, I suggest you dispense with the usual verbal bells and whistles. No peacocking. Is that understood? I missed that.
Yes, my lord.
Yes, my lord.
Excellent. Then let's begin.
The court clerk stands below the judge.
The defendant is charged with the murders of Jackson Baylor and Serena Baylor. How do you plead?
Horgan rises behind the glass.
Not guilty.
You've arrested my client before, haven't you?
Yes, twice.
And each time, you took no further action?
We had insufficient evidence.
It must have been frustrating.
No, I didn't let it bother me.
You mention the CCTV footage.
Yes. We identified Dale Horgan parking his car near Baylor's flat on the night of the murder.
And Mr. Horgan admitted being there?
Well, he could hardly deny it, could he?
Being there explains the carpet fibres on Horgan's shoes matching Baylor's hall carpet, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but he also had motive.
Just no murder weapon, no gunshot residue, and no conclusive physical evidence.
This sounds very much like a speech, my lord.
That sounds very much like peacocking, Mr. Thorne. Ask a question, Miss Richmond, and watch yourself. It only encourages him.
Richmond hands a file to the court clerk, who carries it over to Ronnie on the witness stand.
Do you recognize this?
Yes, that is my decision log.
Relevance, my lord.
Feathers away, Mr. Thorne. I want to hear.
Can you read out the highlighted section, please?
Ronnie slips on his glasses and opens the file.
Decision number 47. Trace and interview Johnny Shackwell, who may be associated with victim Baylor. Main line of inquiry is also ticked.
Who's Johnny Shackwell?
Johnny Shackwell is another dealer. Baylor robbed one of his mules the week before the murder.
Baylor took Shackwell's drugs?
That is correct.
Giving Shackwell a motive, did you follow it up?
Shackwell didn't shoot Baylor. He's got no previous, not even possession of a firearm.
The truth is, Dale Horgan had got under your skin.
Nope.
So you pursued him, ignoring viable lines of inquiry.
Chasing Johnny Shackwell would have been a waste of my very valuable time.
Because it took you away from where you wanted to be, which is here today with Dale Horgan on trial for murder.
What I want is for the killer of those two people to face justice.
And if it makes up for all the other times, that's just a bonus, right?
My lord.
Nothing further.
Did you consider Shackwell as a suspect?
Yes.
Why did you reject him?
Because Johnny Shackwell doesn't use guns. It's totally out of character for him. He doesn't threaten, and he doesn't intimidate.
And Dale Horgan?
He does it like other people breathe.
Dark-haired Horgan sneers as Ronnie shoots him a glance through the glass in the dock. Miranda glares at Horgan. Crown versus Horgan, the verdict.
The fact that he has thus far evaded a prison sentence in no way blinds me to the sort of man the defendant is. However,
Regardless of the obvious flaws in Mr. Horgan, I must concern myself with the facts in this case alone. And despite the weight of circumstantial evidence put forward by the Crown, they have not met the burden of proof. Reasonable doubt exists. Therefore, on counts 1 and 2 of murder, I find the defendant, Dale Horgan, not guilty.
Horgan snarls and pumps his fist towards his cronies in the public gallery. Miranda's features contort with grief as she looks on. Ronnie glances at her as he stands and walks to the court door, looking back at Horgan. Horgan juts his chin at Ronnie defiantly. Jake and Kate pass Richmond reading Horgan's statement to news crews on the court steps.
I was always innocent, and despite the Crown's attempts at denying me a fair trial, I'm pleased that justice has been done. I hope that my good name has been restored.
Come on, this isn't doing any good.
Jake pats Ronnie's shoulder as he and Kate pass Ronnie looking on at the curbside. Ronnie turns to see Horgan saunter out of court.
This way you do a bit of gloating, Dale, is it?
I don't need you, little piggy. I won.
Joe joins Ronnie watching Horgan stroll to a waiting black cab. With a leering grin, Horgan turns and points his middle and index finger at them, bringing his thumb down above to gesture a shooting gun.
He's laughing at us, Joe.
Yeah? We better find a way to make him stop.
Ronnie shoots Joe a glance. Joe sits facing Danny and his mum in the evidence room at HQ.
I've tried. I just can't remember.
Try again, love. You never know. Nothing bad's gonna happen.
So you got your mum looking out for you. My mum was like that. And it didn't matter what I did, right or wrong, I always knew she'd be there. That's good to know, right?
Leighton, Jake and Ronnie watch.
I see your tag. It's wicked. I like it. Iris. Yeah, I thought I could be Hawkeye. Because my surname's Hawkins, so...
Too many letters. You get caught.
Probably just stick to being a copper.
Probably.
Plus, you know, I don't have your hair for heights. Getting your tag that high up on the side of a car park.
It's easy, really. I could swear upside down. I've been practicing.
And then? Now, when you left the car park, did you take the main stairs or...?
Down the ramp.
Okay. And why was that? Why didn't you take the stairs?
It was quicker, and it didn't matter because they'd gone by then.
Who'd gone?
Ronnie watches the monitor intensely. Danny raises his eyes to meet Joe's gaze, then looks back at the table.
Then, when you were hiding, what did you see? Anything. Anything at all.
Joe joins Ronnie, Jake and Leighton in the monitor room.
Look, it is there. I know it. You'd send him home.
Go. There's one more thing I could try.
I think you've done enough.
Please.
Look, push him too hard and we're going to lose him entirely. Isn't that what you said?
Wes.
Leighton looks round at Jake's imploring look. Ronnie nods.
All right.
Day, Joe and Danny on the car park roof.
That's a great view, isn't it?
Windy, though.
It was windier that night. It was blowing. Gusts. I've forgotten.
Where were you, Danny?
Up there.
Up here.
They glance up at the graffiti tag.
And then what happened?
I saw the car and the men.
How many men?
Three.
You saw three men?
Two standing and The one they were shouting at.
Yeah, that's good. Did you see their faces?
I ducked down. I was scared.
It's okay.
I want to help, but I didn't see anything.
Danny, trust me, you are helping, all right? You're helping.
Danny trudges off over towards the spot in the corner of the car park where the teeth were found. Joe turns with a shrug towards Danny's mum, waiting by the car nearby. He follows Danny at a distance, coming up slowly behind Danny's shoulder. The skyscrapers of the city stand beyond.
I could hear them yelling, and the other man, he was crying, begging, please, please, on and on. Then one of them said, stop, you're just making it harder.
Which one said that?
The one with the chain. He was standing in front of the other man. They were hurting him. The man reached up and pulled the chain off.
Joe frowns and moves closer as Danny glances over his shoulder to look at Joe. Joe pats Danny on the back, then speaks on his mobile.
Yeah, he remembers it all, right? Faces, everything. Right down to one of them wearing a gold chain.
Danny hurries down to the evidence room at HQ. He sits, Joe standing behind, a clear plastic bag on the table containing a piece of gold.
That, Chris, is a link from your gold chain that Harry Bernstein pulled from your neck.
Chris's eyes rove below his furrowed brow.
Easily missed.
Chris's lawyer peers over his glasses at him.
My guess is that you drove over it when you left the car park, bent it out of shape.
So the thing is, Chris, when Harry pulled that chain off, took a bit of your skin with it. Enough for us to get a DNA trace. Which, I think we both know, puts you at the scene. So now we got an eyewitness and physical evidence. That's murder. It's a lot of years. You still hearing that yapping noise, or is it something else now?
Not a lot of wiggle room left now, is there, Chris? I know you're scared. And certainly Billy Knowles isn't here to stand trial, is he? So it's all on you. Come on, Chris, we know it wasn't your idea. No reason for you to take the hit all by yourself, is there?
You think you're smart, Chris. Now's the time.
Tell us who gave the order. It's the only card you got left to play.
Chris glances at his lawyer, who nods sagely. Chris gazes forlornly at the table.
He said I just had to do this one thing. That I'd never have to do anything again.
Who? Chris? Give us a name.
Joe leans forward towards Chris across the table. Horgan lies face down as skulls are added to the tattoos on his back. Joe and Ronnie stroll to the tattoo parlor window. Horgan's smirk wilts as he looks up to see them outside. Jake knocks on the door of Sharp's office with Kate in tow.
They picked up Horgan half an hour ago.
Conspiracy to murder and pervert.
Maybe this time we can help that little girl's mother find some peace.
Maybe.
We will get him this time.
I know.
Sharp takes off his glasses and smiles. Jake walks away, leaving them looking rueful. Night, Ronnie and Joe leave HQ.
All right, I'll catch you guys up. Run! Hey, a bunch of us are going to the pub. Fancy coming?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, Joe!
Joe turns and walks back to Ronnie.
That thing you did with Danny, you know, the way you got him to talk, the old technique and so forth. Maybe you could tell me about it sometime, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Ronnie offers his hand. Joe shakes it.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you then.
Joe smiles as he watches Ronnie walk away. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Audio description by Deluxe.